Thank you very much, Lucius. Broadus is out. Send that man some love on social. Let him know he's missed. We have a special guest for Krusty's Corner. It's brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com.
Hey, hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broadus.
Yeah, buddy, joining us now for Krusty's Corner, longtime former co-worker of Broadus, curator of Brian's written football analysis at DallasCowboys.com for a long time, then went big time, moved to L.A., now the co-host of the Athletic Football Show. It's Dave Hellman here with you on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm wonderful, guys. Good to be on. What's up?
Well, you know, I think the question here going into the rest of this summer is how much better have the Cowboys made themselves? Some of your peers, in the national football scene are going kind of all in and saying they could see the Cowboys playing on conference championship Sunday. Could you go that far right now?
I don't think I could go that far. It's funny timing. We just had a conversation about this on our podcast, which will be out tomorrow, where we were just assessing each team's off season. And look, there's no denying that the Cowboys have made themselves a hell of a lot better. Like, in totality, understanding that they traded away one of the best players in the NFL, you got to be happy with where they are coming out of the draft, having completely overhauled their defense, completely overhauled their secondary. You feel good about the picks they made. You feel really good about Caleb Downs. The free agency additions maybe aren't game-changing players, but guys that should give you a much higher floor on defense. And obviously, Dallas doesn't need a great defense for that offense to take it in some really fun directions. I just said this on our pod, though. I think upon closer examination, there are still some things that give you pause, like the linebacker room, the edge situation. How good is the pass rush going to be coming off the edge? The depth at cornerback probably isn't as great as you want it to be. So I still think this is a fairly flawed team, but absolutely a team that should have playoff aspirations, which, you know, for where this team has been the last year or so, I think that's fine. I don't know if I could get all the way to conference championship weekend, though. That feels like a hell of a dramatic jump for 1 year.
The very measured Dave Hellman with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You mentioned the edge rushing group. You mentioned the linebackers. If I told you could have Bobby Wagner today or Von Miller today to soup up the Cowboys defense a little bit, who you going with?
I mean, if those are my options, I think I would take Von Miller. To be honest, I'd have to go back and watch what Von did for Washington. I'm not intimately familiar right now, but I just think of it in terms of like, see ball, get ball. And like, if you're signing Von Miller in 2026, you're probably doing it to play situational, like obvious passing down, go get the quarterback type of stuff. And I think Von Miller can still do that in a limited role. I think Bobby Wagner could still be a useful NFL player, but he's a far cry from what you think of when you think of Bobby Wagner at this point. And, I don't know if you're getting the same amount of bang for buck. A, because he's going to play way more snaps, and there's way more potential for him to be put in disadvantageous situations where I think you could probably still find a way to maximize what Von Miller has left in the tank. So if those were my choices, I would go with the edge rusher.
I was blown away to see that Von Miller still had 9 sacks last year. I was like, what? He had 9 sacks? I mean, I felt like he was kind of not discussed much.
Well, that Washington defense got beat to hell. They had several guys go down for the year, and obviously Dan Quinn took over play calling duties. I mean, they were just kind of a mess. That's not to take credit away from Von Miller, but sure. I don't think their blueprint for the season went according to the plan. And I would guess Von Miller played an even larger role than they were already expecting him to. But that's kind of my point. I mean, the Commanders were a bad team and a bad defense, but Von Miller can still give you that kind of juice where, especially on a good team where he can rotate with other qualified guys. I think Von Miller could still give you plenty in that sort of role, and you would be able to take him on and off the field situationally.
So, Dave, as you guys kind of kick around the off seasons for every team, I asked this to the fellas yesterday. When you look at the NFC East, is this the division that maybe improved the most talent-wise among the four teams with the Giants, what they did in the draft, also adding Isaiah Likely. The Commanders, they attack with Owe and Chase on. Chenal at linebacker. The Eagles trade for Grenard. I mean, it does seem like this division, you can maybe make the case, has improved the most in the entire league.
That's a really good question. I'd have to really go through and think about it. I mean, just sort of off the top of my head, I mean, you think about the Bengals trading for Dexter Lawrence, the Ravens added Trey Hendrickson, the Browns made 1,800 draft picks this year. The AFC North comes to my mind for sure. Probably the NFC South as well, just because I like Carolina and New Orleans in particular really kind of seem like they geared up. But I don't think you're wrong, though. Like, I think the NFC East is a really good answer. Obviously, we know what Dallas did. The Eagles are always going to be aggressive in pushing for competitiveness. And then, I mean, the Giants, just by virtue of the fact that, A, they spent a ton of money for John Harbaugh in his first year, and they wound up with two top 10 picks. Obviously, they're going to wind up adding a boatload of talent. And my gosh, yeah, I mean, I think the Commanders gave out like $175 million in guarantees this year. So, yeah, without like diving deep into it, I think that is probably the right answer.
Is Dave Hellman with you here on The Fan from The Athletic? What are we anticipating A.J. Brown for sure leaving post-June 1? And what do we make of the Eagles here? I don't know if they're going to hang on and, you know, be just as good, or if this last year was the beginning of the end.
I mean, that's such a weird situation with AJ. And we brought that up on our show too, where I was like, you know, there's nothing forcing the Eagles to do this other than just obviously the fact that they want to, and the fact that they've made all these moves to ensure themselves. It just seems to indicate that the relationship with AJ Brown is at a point where everybody thinks they're best served by moving on. I don't think you're a better team without AJ Brown on your roster. Like, I think, even if Mekhi Lemon is a really good player, and even if you get something out of Dontavian Wicks and Hollywood Brown, I'd be shocked if the Eagles are as good of a team without A.J. Brown as they were with him. That said, I still think they're a plenty good team. I think they are the most complete roster in the NFC East. Probably not the juggernaut that they have, certainly that they were in 2024, but even last year, I don't know if they're overall as deep of a roster, but the trade for Jonathan Grenard is just, I mean, that's how good teams stay good, using your comp picks to trade for a guy with 25 sacks when he's been healthy over the last couple of years. Reek Woolen was a really nice signing in free agency for them. So I still think really highly of the Eagles. I think the gap between them and the Cowboys is closer than it was, but I think the Eagles are absolutely still a team that's going to be in the mix to win the division and hopefully for them do more than they did last year.
What do you think about what Shoddy has cooking? Last week, I guess it was, or was that early this week, Steve Sarkisian says Shoddy's one of the top three coaches he talks to. Does Shoddy have something cooking here, you think?
I said this on our show, too. I say, and you guys know this as well as I do, I think when ownership is as intermingled in the day-to-day decision-making process as the Cowboys are, I don't think you're completely in charge of the culture in the building as a head coach. Like, the culture, to some degree, is always going to stem from the Jones family. But I think Shoddy is doing his damnedest to make his mark on the culture in the Cowboys building. And like, that's my own observation from the outside, but that's also what I've heard from people that I still talk to inside the building. I really, the highest praise I can give Shoddy is his hiring process has just sort of made you sit up and take notice. I mean, I love the Clayton Adams hire last year, and I love the Christian Parker hire this year. And these are not things that I think in hindsight. Like, I was, you know, my coworker was in on Christian Parker and gave me the rundown on Christian Parker and what he's about as a coach and a scheme guy well before the Cowboys were ever talking to him. And what Clayton Adams did in Arizona was on the league-wide radar well before he ever landed in Dallas. So the fact that Shoddy is able to identify and bring those sorts of guys into the building, I think is an incredibly good sign. And I think if you look around like the national landscape, you know, it was easy to think of Shoddy as a bit of a punchline, the way he got hired and his track record and his resume. But I think over the last year plus, you're starting to see people come around on what he's doing there. And I think he overall has a pretty good reputation for the, you know, considering how he got here and everything like that. I think people are taking notice of what he's doing there. And yeah, I do think he's got something cooking in Dallas. I've been pretty impressed so far.
Do you get excited about the schedule release? Well, what do you look for when this thing drops?
I think the schedule release is the stupidest thing in the NFL. I can't believe we have to turn it into a week-long event to announce games that we already know. I mean, it's very useful for me as somebody who works in the industry. It's just, it's easier to plan your life when you know which games are when, and you're like, okay, this game is on Thursday night. That means that I might have a longer weekend and maybe I can get away and go have a little bit of a vacation and see my wife for a change, like that type of stuff. But that's not interesting to fans. I don't expect anybody to care about that. And so, no, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Like the NFL is so unsatisfied by having everyone's attention 11 months out of the year that we've got to turn the schedule release into, like, if you want to do a one-day show, that's fine. But we're at the point now where we announce one game on Monday and we announce another game on Tuesday and we announce the international games on Wednesday. I think it's the stupidest thing in the world, but I am very excited to know when the games are happening. I don't get why it couldn't be an email, to be honest with you.
I'm 100% with you, but there's something in me that still appreciates the free content. You know, the NFL knows how to do it.
I mean, they are clearly skilled at it. I don't want to take that credit away from them. They are very good at turning stupid things into content. But sometimes I just want to say, like, hey, when is enough enough? Like, surely the content machine doesn't need to be fed 365 days a year. But I know the NFL would turn right back around and say, you're wrong. It does. So here we are.
Dave Hellman, The Athletic Football Show. Hell of a job as always, man. Thank you so much, and have a great week.
Anytime, y'all. Talk to you next time.
Cheers. There he goes. Dave Hellman with you here on 105 Through the Fan. If you didn't know, worked with Broadus at DallasCowboys.com for a long time, and he did a hell of a job there. It was clear he was a rising star, went to L.A., worked for Fox, became a big TV star, and now on maybe the top football podcast, would you say, The Athletic's football show?
Yeah, I'd say it's right up there for me.
Okay, we got two down, two and a half to go. Wolchuk?
Let's do it. Let's do a football fix. We got the latest schedule rumors, 13 personnel in the affair that might have altered history. That's next.